Intergalactic planet every planet every intergalactic intergalactic planet every.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. Three-hour extravaganza and the big show. We like to call The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel as we continue to roll on. We were talking some Astros before the break. We continue to talk some baseball and take care of some housekeeping, look at some text messages and other things. But first, Eric, you've been waiting. You've been patient. We'd like to get you in here. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Yeah, the new power rankings came out on ESPN. They have the Red Sox at number one and the Astros at two. How the heck do they have the Yankees at number 7 and the Mariners at 15? We'll see how the Mariners are and how Dallas tackle faces the Mariners tonight, because the Mariners ain't no joke.
Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, Mariners aren't a bad baseball team. The top, I mean, the first four in that lineup is as good as just about any four in baseball. I think the Mariners, the question for them is and will be all year pitching. But there's, to me, yeah, the Red Sox right now, you have to have them won. I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
Me either.
The Yankees, I mean, it's a 500 ball club right now. The power rankings, you got to remember, Eric, the power rankings are about right now. So from week to week, it's what team is hot right now. It's not always going to reflect who has the best record in baseball. But the Mets, the Red Sox, those are the teams that are hot right now. The Mets are 9-1 in their last 10. You can make an argument that they should be 1 and
no
Red
question.
Sox should be 2.
No question about it.
So, we'll see. I still think that the Yankees will win that division as hot as the Red Sox are.
I tend to agree with you. Just simply because they're so deep, their pitching staff is so solid. Look, Price, he thought he was going to be back to being a starter. He's got more injury problems. There's a lot of question marks still with the Red Sox, including power. And with the Yankees, you know what they have on paper. And it's, like I said, it's a lot like the Astros situation. Yankee fans are going crazy. They said, I see them on Twitter all the time. We're supposed to have the best bullpen in the league, and they're complete crap and blah, blah, blah. Look, again, just like we just got, insert Yankees everywhere we just talked about Astros, and for the most part, it's the same deal. You're only 16 games in. It's not 160 games in going, God, what a letdown. We really sucked. No.
Yeah.
Just take it easy.
By the way, speaking of Eric's, shout out to Eric Resendez, who took his family to the ballpark, and they made a sign for the Usual Suspects, telling Josh Reddick to come back on the show. So shout out to Eric and his girls.
It was fantastic.
For taking care of that. Yeah, that was awesome. Even though he was out of the lineup that day, which sucked.
Maybe he had more time to focus on it then.
Yeah.
So here's the other story that was interesting from the weekend games. A lot of people that are Astros fans had a big problem with the fact that the Saturday game was on Fox One. But the problem being that the announced team for Fox happened to be the Rangers' regular broadcasters.
Okay.
C.J. Nitkowski, the ex-pitcher for the Angels
Former
and the
Astro.
Rangers and several other teams,
yeah.
Doing color. And he spent a good portion of the at one point in the broadcast talking about the fact that Alex Bregman wore number 2 because he was upset that he went number 2 in the draft instead of number 1, and he was kind of taking some pot shots at Alex Bregman. We all know Alex Bregman on Twitter. We know that he's not the kind of guy that's going to casually let that kind of thing slide.
Ask AJ.
And just go away, right? So instead, he decided, on top of making it one hell of a defensive play and showing some things as to why he is who he is, he decided to take to Twitter and basically pointed out that C.J. Nitkowski's lifetime earned run average was over 5, a 5.37. His lifetime win-loss record was 18-32. And I believe Astros fans caught wind of it, got on the bandwagon, because Nitkowski went private with his entire Twitter account about an hour after everything started to unfold.
My favorite part was that he just subtweeted it. He didn't mention Nitkowski. He just put his record and his ERA, and that was it.
And then other people started chiming in case you didn't know, that's C.J. Nitkowski's lifetime record and earned run average.
That was pretty funny.
So that was some good stuff. But again, look, you and I have talked about this across the board, from college football all the way across to baseball and everything and basketball. You don't have the ex-players of the team, one of the two teams playing, unless you have some way of balancing it out. It's
right.
Like Herb Street or Joey Galloway doing an Ohio State game.
Oh, God.
You know,
Herb
they're going to be so pro-Buckeye.
Yeah.
It's going to be nuts. Aikman doing a Cowboys game. So, you know, with that being said, and I even kind of laughed a little bit, the Bucks-Celtics game and McHale's doing the game from the Garden.
Right.
And I'm going, I know he's going to try, but he's best friends with Danny Ainge. He may go pro-Celtics at some point.
A little bit, huh?
Yeah.
A couple more, I guess, some texts here. Yuli just being back will help the offense a lot. Totally agree with that.
Tend to agree with that as well.
Somebody texted, I'm sure y'all probably covered this, but where do you see Dez landing? Yeah, we spent plenty of time on that last week. Just to reiterate, I feel like the first team that I thought of was the 49ers. I think that that's a distinct possibility. When you listen to him talk, I mean, he said he wants to face them twice a year. So the Redskins and the Giants are the two hot names that you've heard that are in the division that could be where he lands. Other things that were thrown about were the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think the Niners is where he'll end up.
I said Green Bay as the sleeper pick because without Jordy Nelson, they could use him. And I think based on a lot of different factors, New England lost Amendola. New England needs receivers. So if he wants to go somewhere where he can win, but again, he's going to go to a place where it is hyper-structured.
Yeah.
He came out.
He ain't gonna like that.
He came out. Yeah, that's not his thing. So I would say, you know, Green Bay is my sleeper, as you mentioned. He had indicated somewhere in the division. I'd love to see the Texans at least take a look at him to see if he could be the complimentary, because we know he's not a one and he's not a burner, but he could be a great complimentary piece because he can get space next to DeAndre. So I'll go Green Bay, the Texans, and then if he just sheerly wants money, I'll go Buffalo.
Okay.
So we'll see how that plays out. But that'll be interesting to see because of the fact that he came out today on NFL Network. They were asking about, did he think that he was mistreated or was there favoritism showed? And he indicated within the locker room there were Garrett's boys, Jason Garrett-type players, and he thought that they conspiracized against him. This is not going away anytime
soon.
Oh,
wow.
There's going to be a red ass. He's going to be upset with the Cowboys for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of does he want to go somewhere where he gets revenge twice a year, or does he just want to win or get money?
I'd be interested. I mean, and I say that. I was the comics I was with this weekend were both from Dallas,
mm-hmm.
and they were happy that Dez is gone.
I
don't think many Cowboy fans wanted, outside of Crystal Collins, I don't think many Cowboys fans wanted Dez around. It's funny how you can move on like that. I still contend that it's a run-oriented, run-first team, and when that happens, numbers are going to drop.
True.
But
and you got a young quarterback that was still feeling his way around the league.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think Cowboy fans soured on Dez, but they specifically mentioned the fact that, look, and I say we, mm-hmm. as a Cowboy fan, this is what they said,
mm-hmm.
we're willing to put up with his antics as long as he's producing and catching the ball. But even in the playoffs, he had those big drops where the ball hit him in the face mask and he dropped it after he had already pitched a fit on the sidelines. You can't do that. And one of them even said, that's when I was like, all right, I'm done with Dez Bryant because you can't go out there and continue to do those things if you're not going to back it up on the field.
But the one thing is he still has the ability because I sat there at that game, that Packer-Cowboy game in Dallas, and I sat right behind the Cowboys sideline, right up close and personal to see he can still create space, and you could see uh-huh. Green Bay really freaking out, like, do we double him and how do we stop him? Because off the line of scrimmage, he's not going to beat you 80 yards down the field. But if he's running in routes, out routes, slants, he's physical. He's still got enough speed.
Yeah.
He's athletic to get 50-50 balls, and he can help somebody. It's just the thing that bothers me the most is that ego and that attitude. I mean, if he can put that aside and say, I just want to win, and I want to prove to people that I can play and still play at a high level, great. But if he comes into a situation like a Buffalo where maybe he just takes the money, he could be a huge distraction because every time he doesn't get the ball, he's going to be ranting and raving at somebody on the sideline.
But if you're the Cowboys, can you really use, oh, he's a distraction as an excuse? This is a team at one point that was full of distractions.
It's true.
Full of off-the-field distractions. I mean, when you talk about being a distraction, how much can you knock a guy that's passionate about wanting to win and feels like he gives his team – you want guys that are confident in themselves – would you rather have a receiver?
No, you want a guy that wants the ball.
Would you rather
play?
Have a receiver that's like, hey, don't throw it to me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, Dez Bryant wants the ball. You can't knock that. You would like to see him temper it a little bit.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, he's passionate and he wants to win. There's been worse guys on that team, I'm sure, in the locker room and off the field than Dez Bryant.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And like you said, there's something to be said about a delicate balance between the passion but also kind of the – keeping it within the framework of the team,
yeah,
so that it's not a distraction.
Yeah.
But let's see where he ends up, because it's going to be interesting. We had talked about the Saints as well, but the Saints seem to be already stacked up to the point where they're going to be okay. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. If you guys want to join the show, please feel free to do so. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Right now, I'll tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. They try to do everything to be as convenient as possible for the people of Houston. Mac's been here a long time. He knows you're in Houston, and you need furniture. And when you do, you don't want to have, you know, back order slips and delays in the process. Well, he takes care of all that for you at one of his three locations. You can start at Grand Parkway between Sugarland and Katy. You can head to the Galleria right across from Dillard's on Post Oak, or you can go I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which one of the three locations you hit up, you're not going to be disappointed because the deals are all the same. Solid wood American-made furniture. You're going to save money on furniture that can last you a lifetime, whether it's leather or upholstered by brands like Stickley. They're going to take care of you. They're going to make sure that you get furniture you want at a price you can afford, and then they take care of all the details as well, because exactly what they say is exactly what they do. That means there is no back order slips. You buy today, you get tonight. You make sure that if you are looking for a finance plan, their accounting department will take care of that. And then when they deliver the furniture, they'll move away furniture you don't want, rearrange furniture that you need, and take care of any little detail that goes along in the process. Right now, the Astros deal is still in full effect. That means you buy $3,000 more worth of bedroom furniture, including Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get it all for free, free, free. That's just the way they do business. So check them out at one of those three locations. Make sure you tell them Joel Blank sent you by. And as Mac always says, Gallery really will save you money.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Hour number two of the show.
Here,
Barry,
you,
Nick,
you go.
Joel.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about Astros broadcast. I really like the you look at it
with
Blummer
and Todd
they,
Callis,
which they do a really good job.
I like them. I really do.
I enjoy them a lot. And last night was the first time I got to listen to Sunday Night Baseball with Mendoza
and
A-Rod. I don't want to say this.
You like him.
He did a really good job.
He knows the game, man.
What I liked about it is because you guys know I'm a baseball dork. And he talked about the nuance of the game. I really wish the second baseman would move back about 3 feet because it's a ground ball hitter, ground ball pitcher. You don't want to be I like that. I like getting that nuance from a guy that's played the game as opposed to just, oh, look, four outfielders. Yeah, well, talk about more like where, you know, he would talk about, I wish Adrian Beltre would move over towards the line more. You don't want this. You know, I enjoyed it.
How do you get a hit off of Cologne? Well, you see he's getting that backdoor outside pitch. Well, if you're a right-handed
crowd the plate,
that becomes the middle of your zone.
And that's
you
what
can
they
take,
did.
And then take it to right field. That's exactly the kind of stuff that you're not getting from other people. I do want to know if it's true or not, and if anybody saw him around town or around the stadium. One of my buddies was over his shoulder selfieing so he could show the fact that when he was in and around the stadium, they had security around him, like a perimeter, so that he couldn't be bothered.
I think
that's a bit much.
I do that when we're on remotes.
I can see that a lot. You do that in your comedy, I've heard, too.
I do, yeah. You know, you get to be as wildly popular as I am. And
there's nothing like people over-publicizing where you poop in a cabin.
Yeah.
You know, and the cleanliness.
I get it.
That can be something that it's hard to live.
I just give the people what
down.
They want.
Yeah.
We got a caller, Jeff.
Yep.
Wants to talk Dez Bryant.
Jeff, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
Great show. First off, full disclosure, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Oh, hang up on him, Nick. Just kidding.
Yeah. So, but I heard you guys talking about Dez Bryant and how he got released and everything. I know y'all are kind of done talking about that, but I just had a couple things to say about it, I guess. So I think it was a huge mistake to get rid of Dez on the Cowboys' part. First of all, you know, they still have $8 million of dead cap money that they, you know, didn't free up from doing that. So I think they've got the second most amount of dead cap space in the league right now. But more importantly, he was, even with, I think he had a 53% catch rate since Dak came into the league, but he is still their best receiver, undoubtedly. His production's gone down, but teams have to cover him. Like, they have to pay attention when he's on the field. And taking him away, we're left with a slightly above-average receiving core, you know. So he freed up space and took defenders off of other guys. And right now, we don't have anybody that's, you know, definitely going to do that. So, you know, the other thing is, a lot of people talked about all the distractions that he created and everything, but I think that's actually kind of a little bit overblown. Like, one of the things that people always point to is the video clip of him going over to the sidelines and yelling and you know, causing a scene. But if you listen to the audio of that, he was actually going over there and just kind of passionately saying, like, hey, me and Romo are the best duo in the league. You need to give us a chance to win this game. So I think he provided at least as much heart and spirit to the team as he did, you know, any distractions that may have come up.
Good call, Jeff. Appreciate your intake, and it's good to hear from a Cowboys fan that's, you know, rationally put in perspective. Look, I mean, he's a huge distraction. He's no Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, come on. If the biggest thing you got as a distraction is his passion, but you got all the stuff that Zeke put the organization through a year ago, and like you said, well, he's not the only one. The Cowboys have been known for distractions, starting with their ownership. So, you know, overall, when you look at this as a Cowboy fan, I don't know how you're feeling, but yeah, it's essentially be careful what you ask for, because all you guys are, I shouldn't say all you guys, but a lot of you guys were on social media sending us messages, good riddance, goodbye, calling him names. What do you got now that he's gone?
Yep.
And are you going to be pleased with what you have come opening day with a roster that doesn't have Dez Bryant on it, unless you get something in the draft and or make a trade, or there's someone out there? You, Barry, you look right away to see who's still out there. There's no names that are going to knock your socks off and go, oh, yeah, that guy can be just as good as Dez. So we'll see how they fill the void, but that's a big void to fill.
I'm with you, and I'm also with Jeff's assessment of the fact that it makes the receiving core average at best. Allen Hurns and a bunch of guys. And, I mean, Cole Beasley has his moments.
Decent.
But he's not going to take over a game. Williams isn't going to take over. I mean, they're going to be average, maybe slightly above average.
Part of the reason why they were who they were.
I don't think the Cowboys care, though. I mean, this is a run-oriented team.
You're right about that.
That's what they do.
But part of the reason why the guys you mentioned were who they were was because teams were more focused on Dez. They knew of the guys that they had to face from a receiving core for the Cowboys. It starts with Dez Bryant. Yards after the catch, the physicality. Like I mentioned, he can go up and get most 50-50 balls with his athleticism, jumping and getting balls out of the air over defensive backs. He brought a lot of positives to the table. Everybody knows the sideshow to some degree with the passion and however you want to phrase it. But overall, what do you have that's better, or what do you have that's going to replace him? That's the bigger question.
And he was right. The Cowboys have the second most dead cap space in football, $22.7 million. Buffalo has 38 on the books.
Good
and dead
Lord,
money.
The Bills.
Somebody said Zeke can get used to nine-man fronts now. Yeah, I'm with you on there. We have another Jeff on the phone line that wants to talk Cowboys. It's Jeff Cowboy Discussion Day, apparently. Jeff, what's up?
Oh, not much, man. It ain't going to help the Cowboys if they had Dez or not, man. They ain't going to win eight games this year, dude. I don't understand how just that one receiver is going to make a team.
Well, Jeff, are you a Texans
like you said,
fan?
Oh, yeah, some Texans all the way, brother, since 02, man. I'm a Dallas Cowboy hater.
Well, that didn't at least that didn't come through in your call. So if Dez jumps ship and he comes over to the Texans, that makes them a playoff team, right?
If he does come, we'll take him. I just don't think McNair is going to deal with him. I just really don't think McNair will deal with him. But I think we just go out and get somebody else. I really just don't think he would cut it, man. He can't catch the ball, man. He can't catch a cold. Y'all take it easy, man.
Appreciate
Thanks,
calls, Jeff.
Appreciate it. At least he didn't show his true color.
Cowboy hater is just chiming in. He sucks. Oh, he's coming here? I love him. That was the old Barkley thing where everybody hated Barkley and then he came here.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, definitely. All right, so we can talk about that. We can talk about a lot more. By the way, Danny Amendola, now that he's out of New England, came out and had some choice words for Bill Belichick. As you might be imagining, not exactly complimentary once you're on the outside looking in.
Called him a beehole.
Called him a, got a little poignant. But also, at the end, softened it up. So he softened the stool, so to speak. So we'll get to that and a whole lot more when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It is The Usual Suspects, live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen right here at 1901 Taft Street. Stop by and see us in Midtown. I'm telling you, just by the looks of things, when the cheese is stretching off the quesadillas, how can it be a bad day? We'll be back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5. We can make time, up and down the stop it, cause I'm in my prime. ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. More of the big show. It is the halfway point of the extravaganza, and it wouldn't be a party if Jerry wasn't here. So Jerry is in the building if you want to meet the man, the myth, the legend. He's here at Cowboys and Indians with us. See? Hi-oh! And all is better in the world for having Jerry as part of the extravaganza. So with that, we've been talking a little Cowboys, talking a little Dez. Kevin, you want to get in here as well. You want to talk about what's going on in Big D. Kevin, what's up?
Yeah, man, I just want to I love y'all's show, and I'm probably the number one diehard Cowboys fan. I got Troy Aikman's autograph tattooed on my chest because it'll always be near my heart. But you know, with them getting rid of Dez Bryant, they'll be just fine because you know whenever I play with him on Madden 18, whenever I play with the Cowboys, I always take Dez Bryant out, break him with Switcher in his place. And then let me tell you that. Guy will just learn how to scramble, get out of pocket, be patient. He can drop a bomb to Zeke or Switzer, and it's score 98.6% of the time, maybe it's hot, on fire, I'm telling you. But all that trash talking Dez does on the sideline ain't helping, because all he's talking about is they got to eat their breakfast, and who stole his bag of onions. So, I mean, that ain't helping the team out, but I'm saying, if they'll just stick to the game plan, they're going to win the Super Bowl next 3 years, I'm not sure.
Next okay. 3 years. Okay, Kevin. Let's get to the most important thing. You have Troy Aikman's signature tattooed on your chest so it's close to your heart?
Yeah.
Do you tell people that in a public setting?
You just said it on the air.
Are you married?
Nick, you just
thanks, Nick.
Yeah, I mean he's my hero, man. I mean, he's all-time.
Okay.
Appreciate the call, Kevin. Pretty sure Kevin was trolling.
I think so, too. Yep.
He said he got
It was Raheel, but not even Raheel could make that voice.
He had a Troy Aikman tattoo next to his heart.
Yep.
He did talent evaluation based on who he uses in Madden.
Yep.
And then he talked about Funyuns and breakfast on the sidelines.
And the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl the next
three years.
Next 3 years.
Magnificent troll call there, Kevin. Good job, bud. Sam wants to talk Astros bullpen.
Oh, we lost Sam, sorry.
Oh. Damn it, Sam!
Yeah.
Get it together.
Gears. Well, let's talk about an a-hole.
Which would you get, which player tattoo would you get over your heart?
I'm not getting any player Favre? Tattooed anyway.
You going Favre?
No. No. I do have, you know what's funny
Aaron
is
Rodgers.
I have a friend of mine who still, to this day, thinks Brett Favre is the greatest player to ever set foot on the planet. Uh-huh. And like no matter what Rodgers does, he's like, doesn't matter, Favre's better. I'm just like, dude, you are just – talk about drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
He's just insane about Brett Favre. And I'm like, it's never been like that. I love the team. And, yeah, you're fond of the players that
perform.
So
which player?
I'm not doing it.
No, That's a hypothetical. I'm not saying, oh, you got to pick
it.
Who
are you
get? You look at it. I would probably get Olajuwon. Or No. I take that back. I'm going to go Earl Campbell.
John David Crow or whatever, the A&M guy that won the Heisman
yeah.
in the 60s.
Yeah, I'm going to go. No, probably Earl Campbell. As a kid, man, that was my guy. I just loved watching Earl Campbell run.
Get the sausage underneath.
No, not his sausage, just his signature.
Okay.
Who you going to do?
Maybe Reggie White.
Really?
Because Reggie White got that franchise to turn the corner.
Okay.
Maybe Nick, Reggie White.
Nick,
I mean, I might do Hakeem, but I just can't see myself getting a tattoo of an athlete on
it's a hypothetical, Nick.
Nick, Mario's so in tomorrow. We'll just bring a Sharpie. Mario signs your chest. You head down to the tattoo
parlor. I'm a huge fan of Mario, but that just sounds so weird.
But
I agree.
It's a hypothetical. Who's your tattoo?
I'd probably go with Hakeem. I mean, no question.
Now, what would be cool is you could get Hakeem and then add the age later.
Yep.
Save a little money.
Sam is back if you guys want him.
All right, Sam. Sam got his bleep together. He wants to talk Astros bullpen. Welcome back, Sam.
Howdy, yeah. Thanks. So I guess my thoughts are with all the recent games, it seems that there's a lot of hate going on towards the Astros team in general, and I kind of disagree with why that's going on. A lot of people are thinking, oh, the team's not going to repeat, they got lucky. But honestly, I think the problem in a lot of tight games or close games or tied games is that the relievers in the bullpen are probably what's the problem. So I want to know what your thoughts are on that.
All right, appreciate the call. I think at one point, I think they mentioned yesterday going into that game, or maybe it was Saturday's game, but through the first 2 weeks of the season, the Astros had, top five, top six bullpen and ERA?
Yep.
I don't think that the bullpen is the problem. I think that you've had some bad pitching at moments, you know, and that's going to – I mean, you look at last night. Last night was a perfect example. It was a really well-pitched game by Justin Verlander, but he made the one mistake, and they're losing 1-0 through seven innings. Then they come back, and you know they give up a few more of the runs. They start to make a comeback themselves. They're not hitting. It's just about this town got spoiled with a team that all the breaks went their way last year. Every time there was a foul ball, it just hit the chalk. And it would clear the bases. And that's just not going to happen all the time. Last year, it was one of those things where you kind of felt like it was destiny. And this year, they're going to have to, and I hate to say this, they're going to have to earn it this year. It's not just going to fall into place for them. I didn't even mean to do that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you did.
This isn't just going to be handed to them. They're going to have to pitch well. I think the bullpen is fine. They've got a really deep bullpen. They don't have a lefty, but they don't need one. I think they're fine. They're one game worse than they were last year. And there's nothing wrong with this team right now.
Yeah.
They're playing baseball like most teams play baseball. They're not going to win every series like they did last year. It's just not going to happen.
Look, and the other thing is, for like you said, for everybody that wanted McCullers to be your closer, for everybody that wanted all these different changes to be made, I mean, just what they're going through right now, you're seeing things that make you kind of remember what happened a year ago. Peacock pitched on back-to-back days. And look, the second day wasn't so good. He got hit hard. He gave up a couple of long balls. But the fact of the matter is, he was either a long reliever where he would throw and he wouldn't come back the next day. And in a short sample size like the playoffs, you can bounce back a little quicker. But Peacock trying to throw consecutive days could be an issue early on as they try and get their whole bullpen straight. Again, we talked about all the different guys. Harris struggling. Rondon struggling. Smith kind of up and down. But it's going to level out, and it's only 16 games in or whatever it is, so let's just pad the brakes a little bit, and then you can start pressing the panic button if, like, mid-season you're still seeing a lot of the same tendencies, but I don't think you're going to.
I'm going to find the bullpen stats.
Okay.
I'll pull that up at some point.
It's crazy that you would be digging through numbers.
Is it?
Yeah, not really. And I just want to wrap up what we said earlier. I teased this, but Danny Amendola, now that he's out of New England, was questioned about playing for one Bill Belichick, and his direct quote was, "It's not easy, that's for sure. He's an asshole sometimes."
Oh, can't say that.
Oh, he's an a-hole sometimes.
I got that, Nick. Okay.
All right, so let me try again. "It's not easy, that's for sure. He's an a-hole sometimes. There were a lot of things I don't like about playing for him, but I must say the things I didn't like were all in regards to getting the team better, so I respected him. I didn't like practicing in the snow. I didn't like practicing in the rain. but he was going to make us a better football team, so that's going to make me a better football player. It wasn't easy. He'd be the first to admit at the ring ceremony that it wasn't easy playing for him, but the silver lining was that we were at the ring ceremony. So you say all that, and you say you heard the same thing about Saban. You heard the same thing to some regard at some times about Popovich, but not as much. But maybe the great ones have a little a-hole in them that makes them great.
I think they do.
Yeah.
They do. I mean, it
Tyronn Lue doesn't have that. No? Okay.
I think, you know, there's guys that you – there's I mean, let's face it, there are a-holes that aren't good at it.
Yeah.
And the difference is you can get away with it if you're good at it. So,
yep.
Yeah, there's plenty of coaches that people think are a-holes.
And Amendola got his rings. Now he got paid. He's good. I don't see him going back to New England anytime soon, so he's not going to pull the LeGarrette blunt.
Definitely not.
And got it off his chest. So there is that as well. And speaking of the Spurs, I just wanted to see what your thoughts were. But the more this thing goes on, now Popovich is again out there saying, look, it's up to his people to tell us. It's too late for his people. In my opinion, I just think it's too late overall. I think he ends up playing somewhere else next year. I think they get forced into a corner, and they probably have to move him because that situation doesn't seem like it's going to end well this offseason.
No. It's ugly.
If he doesn't play in this series, if he doesn't play the rest of the year, I think that sets the table for him being somewhere else.
Really breaks my heart that the Spurs are going through that.
El Jefe is not going to like you for that. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, well.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. If there's a landing spot, he ends up in Washington and John Wall ends up in San Antonio.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue to move on. We'll continue to roll. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Almost done with hour number two of the three-hour show. It is Barry, Nick, Joel. We are live, Cowboys and Indians, celebrating a little bit with our big weight loss challenge after the final weigh-in
Jerry
was complete Friday.
His face.
We wanted to celebrate with the peeps. We've had lots of people indulging in great food. Normally, they are not open on Mondays until 4, but they opened up special for you, the people of ESPN, and especially those that took part in the challenge. So Jerry is sniping all he can off of all of you that did the hard work. But come on down and make it a part of your Monday afternoon. It is the place to be.
You know what? I have not met a person yet that has come down to Cowboys and Indians and had the food and said, yeah, I didn't like it.
I agree with
you. It's that good, man. I
went out of my comfort zone today.
Oh, yeah? You got the non-quesadillas?
I did, yeah. And they're still extraordinary. They're fantastic.
They are?
Yeah, and Jerry is sampling them right now. And I don't think that they're disappointing him either. The cheese is like gooey and stringy, and it's hot. It's fantastic.
I'm really upset. I can't find the bullpen stats. I don't know what's going on with me, man.
You're letting the listeners down.
Yeah, it looks.
Well,
that
in
way.
The meantime, while you're still looking for it, why don't we get Patrick in here to talk about some Astros?
Let's do that,
Patrick. What's up,
man? Hey guys, man. First of all, you're at my favorite restaurant in Houston, by the way.
Awesome.
Hopefully I can get there before you leave. But I have a couple of comments or questions about the Astros. I have two favorite teams because I've moved here. I'm mostly a Cubs fan, but I definitely really enjoy watching the Astros play, and I'm rooting for them as long as they're not playing the Cubs. But that brings a couple of questions. First of all, their bullpen and their hitting issues. Do you see the Astros riding this roster out? Do you see any big changes maybe coming around the trade before the trade deadline? And does Dallas Keuchel feel stupid about running his mouth about the Cubs when he's sitting at 0-2 with a 4.20 ERA?
I'm going to go yes to the second
one.
I
agree with you on that.
But that's just, I mean,
I don't know, but
it's sports. Guys are going to talk mess.
He's got an ego. I don't think he feels stupid.
No. I mean, this is a whole team that walked around in back-to-back shirts before the season started. So There's plenty of ego to go around, and rightfully so. Guess what? When you go out and win the World Series and no one thought you could, that everyone had penciled in the Cubs to repeat with, I mean, no questions asked. It was going to be the Cubs. That was the most dominant lineup, top to bottom, dominant pitching staff. Guess what? That didn't happen. So, yeah, you're going to puff your chest out a little bit and maybe talk a little mess, but it all evens out. As far as trades go, I think that the one thing you might see, I've said all along, and even in my preview, I said the one thing you might see is they may have to go out and get a closer.
Yep.
They may have to go out and get some left-handed help in that bullpen, especially to get a specialist that can actually get the job done going into the playoffs. And it won't surprise me if they try to get some help in left field. Derek Fisher is struggling. Marwin Gonzalez, I fully expect him to have to regress. So it won't surprise me if they do that. Now, they may go and just bring Tucker up. That could be a possibility too. But I think if they're going to do anything at this point, they're not going to add a big bat because they have plenty of those. If they're going to add anything, it's going to be in that bullpen. It's going to be at the back end of that bullpen or a lefty specialist.
Yeah, we talked about this in the past, and I totally agree with you. I think the closer is definitely something that they'll look at. I think they might look at a veteran bat that could also maybe get some work in as a DH every now and then if Gattis is still in that 230 range. When he's at the DH and can also play some outfield. But, yeah, I think the bullpen is where they have to focus because, look, I agree with the caller a while back that said when Gurriel gets back in the lineup and right off the bat, a hit the first night, a home run the second night, the guy's a stick, and he's going to hit. But I agree with you totally, too, with Marwin. That might have been more of, just one of those years where everything went right and he hit, for average and he hit for pop and he did all the things he did, and he's going to regress a little bit. But overall, I'd have a little concern if Reddick and Marwin are still struggling a little bit when you get more towards the All-Star break that you might have to look at it. But I still think that those guys are just they're good ball players. They're going to come around. So I'm not going to press the panic button on anything yet. But I don't think that they're concerned about either one of those guys yet. It may happen.
I don't think Reddick is struggling. He's in like 308.
Now he is because we tried to get him on the show. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Once
now,
we get
now Reddick, he's going to struggle.
He's on fire once he. Once we try and get the listeners to get him to be on the show. It's just the way it works.
Yeah, I'm looking at Altuve hitting 344, McCann hitting 313, Reddick 308, Stassi 304, Correa 264. I don't think Correa's ever going to hit for high average. I think he's a 275, 280 guy, but he's going to drive in a lot of runs. He'll be productive from the four hole.
He's got pop.
Yep.
I don't know that I like Blummer calling him an Adonis.
What?
That was uncomfortable.
That is uncomfortable.
Yeah, the other night he goes, the Adonis that is – the body of Carlos Correa. I'm like, easy, Blummer.
I've been in that clubhouse. I wouldn't say he's got the body of Adonis.
Yeah, he's not, Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, he's not going to be on the cover of any romance novels.
Right.
You know?
Even without long hair.
It's like who do you think basketball players probably have? Like, if you could have the body of a NFL player, basketball player or Major League Baseball, which one do you want? Which one do you think has the ideal body type? Football players are
it
too
depends
big,
on what they're taking.
Right? Like football players.
Because, certain football players can be pretty chiseled
but
up.
But they're too big, though, right?
All of them.
Baseball players, look, Bartolo Colon, enough said.
We mentioned, Terrell Owens back in the –
I already have the body of a baseball player. I have love handles and a double chin.
Jerry's here to verify that you are not anywhere near what you described.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Baseball player bodies are attainable because pretty much everybody already has those. Basketball players is that good combination of fit but not too big.
You don't have to be good either because the biggest – the guy, the body that everybody talked about when I was with the Rockets, Joey Dorsey. Couldn't play dead. But he had, this chisel. And then, he was just weird enough. I'll say weird enough. He was just that guy enough that he could walk around and go, my real goal in life was to be a porn star. So after practice, the shirt would come off immediately. He'd strip down to just his under the tights and just be like, it's all right. It's okay to stare.
Really?
Yeah, he was a very confident young man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I ain't going to knock the hustle.
No.
Good for
I'd
him.
I'd knock his free throw shooting. I see what your point is. Baseball players, there's not many, but Bryce Harper's the guy that would be your romance novel guy or your
probably with the long flowing hair, Jake Marisnik. We truly live in the worst city for sports. This is a text.
Okay.
We truly live in the worst city for sports fans. It's the beginning of the season, and everyone acts like the Astros are done. Let them have a little World Series hangover. They'll be fine. Yeah, somebody asked, do you think that they're putting too much pressure on themselves, much like the fans are? And my response is no, because that begins and ends with your leaders, and that is A.J. Hinch, that is Jose Altuve, and that is Carlos Correa. And I don't think any of those three guys are pressing at all, not a single bit. And I remember last year when I first started going to the games, which I went to plenty Astros, given my credential. I remember.
It's got to be submitted, Barry.
Yeah. I remember watching the kind of the dynamic in the clubhouse. And don't underestimate the value of what Marwin Gonzalez does for guys like Altuve and Correa, kind of as a settling presence, as a guy who's kind of been around a little bit longer. Carlos Beltran was the guy that really, I think, taught these guys how to be leaders. Mm-hmm. But Marwin Gonzalez contributes to that quite a bit. I mean, his locker was next to Altuve's. Everyone looks to Altuve to be the leader. But there was a point where you would see kind of those two would be over there talking, and then Altuve would go do his post-game speech and whatnot.
And on the other flip side of it, it's Yuli, because Yuli keeps him light. Everybody loves Yuli because he's normally happy-go-lucky, and he's smiling, and he's upbeat. And a lot of times when they're all down, that, you know, AJ talked about it, Yuli's that guy, that presence in the locker room that everybody wants to be around and gravitate towards because he's just a happy guy. He's a friendly guy. He's a likable guy. They've got a great mix in that locker room, and that's never. I don't think that's ever going to be a problem where, as you look at dynamics in the locker rooms of L.A. or Chicago or New York, it's a lot more egos and fragile sensitivity levels on certain players.
And it's still too early to even make this comment, but I do get the sense that this team is a little more businesslike. I mentioned it in week one, and I mentioned it was something to keep an eye on. I do feel like there's less fun in games. And I mean, we're just 2-3 years removed from the Congerbot. This is a team where, you know, Club Astros
Club
and all
Astros,
that was fun last year. But I think that they're a little more businesslike this year, but they're also more mature, too. So you can't – I mean, these aren't just a bunch of kids out there just playing for the love of game. These are World Series champions that have to kind of take it serious, too.
Yeah, no
so,
doubt about it.
It will be a little more businesslike and a little less fun, but guys like George Springer, guys like Yuli Gurriel out there, that's what their role is.
No doubt about it. So we'll continue to roll on. Two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the show. So feel free to join us, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Right now I'll tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a great job of setting up a locally owned and operated power company that has your needs in mind in everything that they do. That means from the minute you call, you're not going to get an automated system. You're going to get an operator on the phone. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to identify when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and how they can set up a plan that helps you the best. That's the way they do business. They're 100% honest. Even if that means losing your business to cheaper competition, it's like a trusted friend. You get honesty at all times without exception, and it's clear and understandable. Everything that they throw at you is not confusing, deceptive, obscure, or they're not trying to trick you or pull the wool over your eyes. They're going to be honest. And if it works for you, then it's going to work for a long time. I assure you, I signed up with Infuse. They're saving me hundreds on my bills, and they can save you too. Check them out at InfuseEnergy.com or call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Mention ESPN 97.5, get a $25 bill credit right off the top, and then take it from there. 100% green energy at your fingertips, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.